You're listening to Orange County's only station with critical business information, Critical Mass, with your host, Rick Franzi.
Hello and welcome to Critical Mass, the radio show. I am your host, Rick Franzi, and I host this business talk show, which airs live on Tuesday and Wednesday afternoons at 4 p.m. If you're listening to this show as a podcast, I would encourage you to listen live during our broadcast times. You can do that by tuning into www.octalkradio.net. The goal for this show is to help you, our listening audience, make better decisions. We do that by interviewing thought leaders and peer executives who have transferable knowledge, ideas, and experiences. I would like to thank Smart Business Magazine for sponsoring the show today. Smart Business Magazine is a management journal providing insight and advice for top decision makers. To learn more about Smart Business Magazine, visit their website, which is www.sbnonline.com, and select Orange County in the local journals area. Critical Mass, the radio show, is an extension of our 17-year consulting practice. We build peer groups, executives, and business owners here in Orange County, California. We do that in partnership with Renaissance Executive Forums. Executive Forums is an international organization, and they're committed to helping members take their businesses to the next level. My business partner, Doug Gefeller, and I currently chair multiple CEO peer groups. Doug is a master certified coach, and he leads our coaching practice, which we call the Coaching Perspective. Doug's a master certified coach, as I said, and there's only 900 master certified coaches in the world. And he's been through a three-year program, and he brings that experience and skill set to the coaching experience. If you'd like to learn about his coaching philosophy, then you should tune in right here to octalkradio.net on Thursdays live at 4 p.m. to hear Doug not only talk about coaching, but also interview HR executives in the Orange County business community. That show airs in the same time slot, 4 to 5 p.m. My book, Critical Mass, The 10 Explosive Powers of CEO Peer Groups, was the first book ever written about the peer group experience, and it's available for sale on Amazon.com. You can find it on Amazon simply by typing in my name, Richard Franzi, F-R-A-N-Z-I. If you're interested in the CEO peer group experience or the transformative powers of executive coaching, or to learn more about what we do here at Critical Mass for Business, in addition to the radio show and the things that I just mentioned, then visit our website, which is www.criticalmass.com. If you'd like to join in the conversation right here and now, and you're listening live to Critical Mass, the radio show, then go to octalkradio.net's website. You're probably already there. You're listening to the show. Go to the community chat room, log in, post a thought or thoughts. My crack producer, Paul Roberts, will be checking them and possibly will bring your thoughts onto the show. And then before we go any further on the show, I think I want to take a break, and we'll be right back after these words.
Smart Business Network is a business-to-business multimedia company providing insight, advice, and strategy for C-level executives of fast growth, middle market, and large companies. As one of the nation's largest publishers of local management journals, under the Smart Business name, Smart Business Network publishes 19 regional print editions, presents dozens of large and small-scale business conferences and award programs, and produces a vibrant interactive digital media presence. For more information, visit us at www.sbnonline.com.
Large companies with complex sales channels have sophisticated lead management needs. They require customized lead management systems and services and integration with additional systems. That's why, since 1981, these companies have relied on SmartLead by AdTrack, the only full-service lead management company with customized systems for lead management, Salesforce automation, and analytics. These systems are managed by each client's dedicated account manager and are integrated with SmartLead's in-house marketing services that include a contact center, email marketing services, print services, direct mail and fulfillment, and an ISO-certified warehouse. SmartLead by AdTrack. 3 decades of pioneering lead management best practices and systems for complex lead management needs. For more information, visit our website at smartlead.com.
Welcome back to Critical Mass, the radio show. This is your host, Rick Franzi. This is a talk show that we interview business leaders and executives to help you, our listening audience, to make better decisions. I'm excited to announce that tomorrow, if you're listening live, you'll want to pay attention to this. Tomorrow, at a different time, at 3 p.m., is the first installment of a new version of Critical Mass, the radio show that we're going to be doing, and that is Critical Mass Coast to Coast. It is the same great quality that you're used to with Critical Mass, the radio show, and Critical Mass, the coaching perspective. But I will be interviewing business executives from various markets across this country. And so if you're in Orange County listening, I think you want to tune in because you'll probably hear some things that are similar to the business opportunities and challenges that they face. You also may come across some subtle differences. The markets in particular that I'm focusing on now are Philadelphia, Atlanta, Miami, San Antonio, Texas, Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Phoenix, Arizona. I tried to work my way east to west. I'm not sure how well I did on my geography, but I think I nailed it. Anyway, tune in tomorrow, 3 to 4 p.m., Rick Franzi, Critical Mass Coast to Coast, followed by Doug Gefeller hosting Critical Mass, the coaching perspective. All right, let's turn our attention to our first guest today. It's my pleasure to welcome to Critical Mass, the radio show, Ron Stein of Crest Digital. Ron, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. Let's get right into the interview. Ron, can you talk to our audience about your professional background, as it were, that predates your time with Crest Digital? And I say that, and it'll become self-apparent to our audience what I mean in a few minutes.
Well, it was just a very small amount of professional time, and that was really spent in college. And it really wasn't, you know, working on the job. It was working and learning about an industry which my parents had started back in 1962. It was a motion picture film laboratory business, and as a kid, I used to go in and work with my father on weekends and learn a little bit about the business from the technical standpoint and a little bit about the business side of it. But there really wasn't much of a leap between college and jumping into the workforce after I came out of the service.
Crest Digital has a long history, and we talk about that in email for those people that are listening because they received our announcement of your appearance on the show. But it is a family business, as you said, has been around since the 60s, and you've really been intimately involved in the business for all of your professional business experience.
Yes. And it's been quite a ride through various technologies to where we are today.
And that's a great opening for me to ask you, Ron. Talk to our audience about where your firm is today. If I'm correct, you're celebrating your 50th year in business this year, correct?
That is correct. Yeah, this will be the 50th year of the company. And we've seen the company go from a motion picture film laboratory industry business to a videotape post-production delivery business, and into a optical media manufacturing business. And currently we are also delivering digital files to things like cell phones, aircraft, ships at sea, Navy, and you name it. So we've seen quite a change in growth in this industry.
So it is not, there's maybe elements of it that are very much the same as it was 50, 49, 48 years ago, you know, after the business was up and running and kind of ongoing as a concern. But listening to you talk, it sounds like there's been a constant evolution of the products and services that you're offering and the industries that you're kind of participating in.
There's been a lot of changes, and it never ceases to amaze me. It's like being on a fast track all the time with technology looking over your shoulder all the time, chasing you side by side. So it's been an interesting ride, and I think we differentiate ourselves because we're a family business. We're able to move into those areas very quickly.
And we're going to come back to sort of what it means when your business is part of your foundation, is technology, is a technological base. And for those our listeners that are listening to this show, have fundamental enabling technologies, I think they can identify with that. But I'm going to hold a little bit more of that conversation for a few minutes, Ron, about what it means to a business when your underpinnings are kind of based on technology. But let's come back, and I'd like to ask you, can you share with our audience, of all the things that you've learned in the time that you've been with Crest Digital and leading it, what is your guiding principle?
I think really listening and believing in your employees and empowering them, right? Because this is a people business. It's a lot of service. And, you know, the staff has a lot to bring to the party. And they do, because they're doing the work, they see new and interesting ways to improve on how we do the work. And we open that up for, you know, discussion all the time. And my door, you've heard this sort of over and over again, is always opened. So if someone has some suggestions how to improve efficiencies or better ways of improving, you know, time studies where we really are trying to get the most for the least amount of time, we're right there. We're listening.
And I think that is the hallmark of a lot of successful companies is, you know, and I was in a manufacturing company for a number of years, and I led it for a part of that time, and we instituted some manufacturing techniques that were built on the Toyota manufacturing system. And one of the fundamental precepts of that manufacturing system is that the people doing the work generally know best how to improve their own performance if management would just be willing to listen to them and implement their advice.
And it really makes a difference in a company. You have a workforce that feels like they are part of the company, they're empowered, and they own a piece of it. It's really it's helped us really grow and become a successful company.
You know, we always look for learning moments on the show, Ron, where we believe the conversation that we're having between you and me and the audience can pick up a lesson. And ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, you're listening to a business leader who's running a family business that's been in business for 50 years, which in and of itself speaks to qualities of perseverance, etc. So thank you for sharing that with us. I'd like to move on now and ask you, as you know, I'm an advocate of CEO peer groups. I wrote a book on the subject. I make a living by having business leaders get together and in a collaborative way help each other take advantage of opportunities and avoid challenges if they can, or at least to minimize them. Could you share with us from your experience either how you've benefited from a peer group, or maybe looking back on the experience now, how you might have benefited if you would have been able to kind of share your ideas with a group of peer business leaders and executives?
Okay, I've been to a couple of peer group outings where you would go for a breakfast meeting and sit through a series of lectures, then have a one-to-one meeting with other companies and discuss similar issues. And what I really got out of it was the diversity from various businesses, how we are different, but we are the same. And you can learn from each other. And for Crest, our company, we were in a situation where we're the only ones in this media space. So it was not a competitive environment. It was very friendly, and you get a lot of advice. And again, this is back to learning, listening, and by observing and hearing other problems other CEOs or company heads run into, you either can say, yeah, we've been there, done that, or, wow, we're facing that today, and how did you get around that? So you can really pick up a lot of great stuff.
And I think it's a testament to you that having the success of being in business for 50 years, it doesn't sound like you feel like you still know it, that you've learned it all yet, and that you know it all, that you couldn't learn from the experiences of others. Maybe they haven't been in business for 50 years, but you know their experience has value to learn from as well. Is what I hear you saying.
I think you're picking up information from a diverse group who've been involved in different industries, and you really can learn from their headaches, and they've solved issues and things that you're facing currently, and conversely, by telling them about your issues and problems we face on a daily basis, they have advice. So it really works. It's a real win-win, I think.
Okay. Well, speaking of sharing by example, I guess I'd like to ask you to share, Ron, with our audience, a current challenge that's facing Crest Digital and sort of the steps or ideas that you have to mitigate that challenge.
Well, as I mentioned, one of the current businesses we're in is the manufacturing of physical medium, you know, those little round silver discs called DVDs. And we're seeing, and you've been seeing in the last several years, a change in the paradigm of how you look at entertainment and how you look at movies. And with the advent of downloading the Netflix and the Blockbusters and you name it, the Amazons, and you can receive entertainment directly through your telephone, through your set-top box or your cable, Blu-ray player. So our industry is not ordering nearly the quantity of materials they used to order in discs. So what we have done is, of course, we've always had a diversity in the type of work we did. We're into CD-ROM and the DVD-ROM and the game area. So we are into several other areas of manufacturing, so we don't put all the eggs sort of in one basket for the entertainment side. At the same time, we're moving toward what they call fulfillment distribution business model. So we touch that product in more ways and are able to add additional margin to that product. As the product reduces, we are moving ourselves into more of a fulfillment area in a more general sense, so we can handle not only physical media, which is the optical media, but other products that will be coming down the line. That's one challenge. That's one of the challenges, which is a big one.
And, you know, we've had this conversation because having worked and supported the airline industry, you were talking to going back to the day when onboard entertainment was in reel-to-reel film, not in a digital media, and then it progressed from that through, technology of cassettes, et cetera, and now it's a digital file in many cases. But that is a constant challenge for businesses that are underpinnings a bit on technology, because from my experience, as technology evolves and innovates, it sort of democratizes the product and the technology, thereby lowering many times the price that customers expect to pay for a similar service in a different digital or medium over analog, and that requires a constantly being able to reinnovate your product offering and your service offering such that you can maintain a revenue stream from your existing clients in a way that makes sense based on many times the infrastructure and the cost model that you've had to put in place to service their needs that predate that technology change. So for me, you're a 50-year business, 50-year-old business, but I wonder how many iterations of Crest Digital over the years there really has been if you looked at it as unique companies and different segments.
Well, if you were to go to Wikipedia and type in Crest, you would find out. It's been quite a ride, and interestingly enough, each advance in technology or each advance in the way we deliver media. There's a lot of principles that stay the same. It's just an improvement. And the business side doesn't change. It's how you handle that technology and, you know, which one do you bet on, too? Sometimes there are multiple competing technologies.
That's true. I can imagine you've got to make an investment. When you say which one do you bet on, I know because you were gracious enough to give me a tour of one of your facilities. There's a lot of capital equipment involved in some aspects of your business that, you know, you need when your investments, they have a return on investment over a number of years.
That's correct.
Okay. Part of what we do on the show too, Ron, when it's appropriate, is we ask our guests to share with the audience of the four strategies that we highlight here on the show for what we call mid-market companies, those with revenue of a couple million, 5 million to 50 to 100 million on the top end, absolute top end, 100 million, but you know, mid-market companies, of the four strategies that we've identified that are common for companies to use to differentiate, to allow them to grow and maintain their profits, if not enhance them. Is there one that you feel like you'd like to share with our audience today that specifically applies to Crest Digital?
Well, I can't think just one of them. I think there's a little bit of all of them. But clearly, we talked about many of them already, you know, use of technology. Do things better. Be better at what you do. Remember that you're a service company and you want to make sure that you become a partner of that customer of yours and you rely on each other this way as opposed to just a service company. And, you know, we're open as far as being open as a company. We listen when the client speaks. Believe me, we listen. And if we can become a partner of theirs and help them improve what they're doing, they see added value. And that's part of why they want to stay with the company. All things being equal, that's a big game changer.
You know, I have had a number of entrepreneurs on the show, and one of the common, and when I say entrepreneurs, what I mean, Ron, are business owners who are in the early stages of the company's life. You know, they've got the company off the ground, and they're building it to something, and it's still, you know, in that early stage of the business's life, maybe not the individual's life, but the business's life, and so they're kind of very entrepreneurial because they're looking for the business model that works. And then I've interviewed business leaders who've had mature companies, etc. And your company certainly at 50 years is one of the longer longevity companies that we've had on Critical Mass, the radio show. But what I've also taken away from your experience is you almost never can stop innovating and being an entrepreneur in the business, even if you've had five decades of business life and success. You never almost can settle and lock down and go, okay, I've got the business model, you know, this will exist for the next 10 years or 20 years or for as long as, you know, we want to keep it going. Many times you're looking at reevaluating and meeting your customers' unmet needs and always kind of making sure your business is appropriate and for the marketplace as it exists today.
That's true.
So I'd like to turn you around now and say, talk to our audience about a current opportunity for growth that's facing Crest Digital and what it kind of means to the firm if you're able to successfully leverage it into the future.
Well, we have an industry that, like I said, we serve entertainment to a large fleet of aircraft, international airlines from all over the world. And one of the opportunities we have, and we moved into last year, is to branch out to be not only a service company in providing them files of these films, but also get involved with programming for them. As one step into the area of giving more service, so it more becomes a one-stop shop. So not only do you, your client now will say, okay, I can go to Crest. They'll work with the studios. They'll look at the up-and-coming movies. They'll make recommendations as to how to program for our particular aircraft, for our particular flights, not only in pictures and in entertainment video-wise, right? Movies, but also audio programming. So that's one area, and that's an area called Flair, which is our new service division. The other area is really more of the same move on new technologies, like in the world of optical media, you have DVDs. The next step, you had Blu-ray. And of course, the next step is potentially 3D Blu-ray. Those are areas, both Blu-ray and 3D Blu-ray, 3D, that we're looking at as well in terms of doing providing software tools to author 3D for home entertainment systems. So those are two areas that we're kind of pressing into slowly and carefully, trying to keep our eyes wide open.
You know, the 3D area, the viewing experience, from what I'm able to learn about this area of consumer electronics, I believe it's going to impact the market faster and broader than even HD did, because there's a lot of money to be made in a lot of areas off of 3D being implemented in as many venues as possible. And if you can attach your company to some way to that energy and investment in the 3D space, it could bode well for the future of Crest Digital as well.
Right. And again, it's a bet, like everything else in life, in business. But today, with the technology being so robust, the ability to make these pictures come alive and re-energizing both hardware manufacturers, software manufacturers, and service companies like Crest, I think there's some potential there. No guarantees, but there's potential.
I'll be interested to have...
Sorry?
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, I'd be interested to have you back, Ron, at some point in the future and get your sense on how that area of the business has developed based on sort of where your plans were here in January.
I'd love to come anytime you call. I'd be happy to talk to you again.
Well, if someone would like to learn more about Crest Digital beyond what we were able to cover here on Critical Mass, the radio show, Ron, how would you suggest they do that?
Well, we can go to our website, crestdigital.com, and that will tell them more than they want to know about the company. And we also are on Facebook, we have Wikipedia, Twitter, you name it, we're on it, social media.
Great.
So we'd be happy to speak to anybody regarding this, where Crest is, and if we can do any good for anybody out there in the world, we'd love to help them.
All right. Well, Ron Stein of Crest Digital, this is Rick Franzi of Critical Mass Radio Show, said thank you for the time that you've put into preparing for this interview. Thanks for being a friend to the show and kind of welcome as the newest member of the Critical Mass for Business community.
Great. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, as I said, that was Ron Stein of Crest Digital, a very interesting family business and a very interesting business model, and I appreciate Ron coming on and being willing to kind of share more about the company. We're going to meet with our second guest, but first we're going to take a short break.
Smart Business Network is a business-to-business multimedia company providing insight, advice, and strategy for C-level executives of fast growth, middle market, and large companies. As one of the nation's largest publishers of local management journals, under the Smart Business name, Smart Business Network publishes 19 regional print editions, presents dozens of large and small-scale business conferences and award programs, and produces a vibrant interactive digital media presence. For more information, visit us at www.sbnonline.com.
Welcome back to this edition of Critical Mass, the radio show. I am your host, Rick Franzi. If you're listening live and you would like to join the conversation during the show, then visit octalkradio.net's website, go to the community chat room, log on, put your thoughts out there. My producer, Paul, will take a look and possibly will bring your thoughts into the show. I'd like now to introduce our second guest. Gentleman is Fong Vo of BTL Machine. And Fong, welcome to Critical Mass for Business.
Hi, Rick.
Why don't we start by saying, could you talk to us a bit about your experience? BTL Machine is a family business similar to Crest Digital, a family business. So you're my second guest today, and I guess the theme for the show is a little bit around family businesses. So share with us your professional experience and a bit about, you know, how you made your way to the family business.
Well, Rick, over the years, you know, I was a student, and then when I graduated, I came into the family business. You know, we're an aerospace manufacturer. We produce precision products for Boeing, you know, Lockheed Martin, Bell Helicopter. And I just kind of worked my way into the business, you know, started as a machinist, and then eventually went into the front office to help with the financial side of the business, and you know, kind of just gradually stepped my way into the sales and estimating side of the business where I stand today. And that's about a, you know, a 15-year tenure that I've been with this company, and it's been very fruitful, you know, in my career to do the things we have done so far.
And so let's look at the firm BTL Machine and talk about what provides the services and products, and help me to understand in the audience too how, from your perspective, you see BTL Machine different and being differentiated in your space.
Well, you know, this company is an $18 to $20 million company a year. You know, we specialize in large complex machining of high speed 3, 4, and 5 axis machining, which is, you know, very complex machining for our customers, like I mentioned, like Boeing, Lockheed Martin, and Bell. We do large parts, and the parts that we do are like structure parts, like kind of like a skeleton in your body, you know, and it holds the frames and everything together. And a lot of the programs that we work on, which I'm very proud of, are the, you know, the F-15, F-22, F-16 programs for the military side of the business, and we do also do a lot of commercial aircraft too, like the 737, 777s, 747 programs, and you know, the things that make us a little bit differentiated from all the other manufacturers is that, you know, we're still last of the strongholds. A lot of the family businesses have come and gone and sold to private equity firms. And to make a tough executive decision sometimes, you know, they have to go through the board and whatnot. And, you know, my father and my uncle owns this organization. And, you know, they still have a lot to say so in what goes on here. So they make decisions, you know, full of, you know, with wisdom, and they're very wise in what they do, and they make quick decisions. And sometimes our customers, you know, they need us to be fast in the way that we make our decisions because, you know, they got tight, you know, time frames that they need to do things, and we're able to kind of jump right in and help them out and be an extension of their family and help them out with their critical paths to successes and stuff like that.
And thanks for sharing kind of the what the family business means relative to your father and your uncle being in the business. Mm-hmm. I do appreciate that. Can you talk to the audience from your perspective, kind of the guiding principle that is behind BTL Machines? What is your guiding principle?
Well, definitely, you know, my father's always been a champion recruiter, you know, and he's always seeking out talent to train them the way that he envisions this company's going to be the next 5 to 10 years, you know, in his strategic growth plans that he has. He always likes people injecting new ideas. You know, he always has an open door policy, which this whole company does, from himself all the way down to the management structure of this company. And last but not least, you know, you always got to be a motivator, a cheerleader, and a great communicator, and make your intentions crystal clear to the people underneath you. And that's the vision that this company has always painted for ever since the existence of this company. And I guess that's the legacy that we always carried forward.
And how long ago, I'm sorry, Fong, but how long ago did your uncle and your start the business?
They started in 1991, so this year would be their 20th anniversary in business. You know, it's a long story, but they started out in the bicycle industry, building mountain bike parts. And, you know, I would say 1997 and above, that's when we really hit the aerospace industry, and we had a huge, huge growth spurt from there on forward. You know, we started in a little small facility, which was probably 800 square feet. And today, you know, we're encompassing over 130,000 square feet and employing 95, you know, people here in the Corona area.
Well, and you were kind enough to give me a tour of your facility when I met with you one of the times, and I was, having a manufacturing background, I was really impressed with the level of equipment and technology and the investment that your firm has made in its plant and equipment. It's a significant, you have some significant equipment in that facility. Not only do you have a lot of space, but you have a lot of very nice and expensive equipment occupying that space as well.
Yeah, we do. And evermore, you know, even right now as we're speaking, they're breaking ground on foundations that we're laying on bigger pieces of equipment. And the equipment that we're talking about is, you know, the width of the equipment, they're milling machines, which they'll take a solid aluminum block and mill it down to a structure that can be put on the airplane. You know, you're talking about a piece of equipment that's, you know, 30 feet wide by, you know, 145 feet long. You know, and the foundation is just really, really big. You know, you're talking about, 10 feet worth of cement, you know, over, encompassing over that square foot. So there's a lot of exciting things happening here at BTL every day. And, you know, we just got to count our blessings that we're doing the right things.
So let's talk about, as you know, I'm a big fan of peer groups. I think business leaders, all when they're in a collaborative, the right ones do well in a collaborative environment. I wonder if you could share with our audience kind of an experience where you directly benefited or the firm did, or maybe you felt like you didn't benefit as much you could have in a decision that was made if you would have had the opportunity to talk to a group of peer business owners and executives.
Certainly, I can remember, the turning point for us was really in 2001. We went to an aerospace conference where we had the top 10% of the aerospace manufacturers in Southern California. It was a workshop to improve the process, and it was aided by Boeing at that time. And we found out most of our competitors were going through a new capital expenditure program. They were, you know, returning their older equipment in, they're trading them in, and buying new pieces of equipment with more capability. And they proved in a year's time that they were able to save, you know, their overhead costs about, you know, 10 to 20%, therefore giving back to the customers, a 10 to 15% cost reduction. And if we didn't have those ideas being injected in those, conferences, we wouldn't know what was going on. And probably about a year and year and a half time frame, we would have been not competitive in this business. So we figured out that, you know, our customers are ever-changing. They need and they demand cost reductions. And most of our competitors were going through that phase where they needed to be quicker, smarter, and faster. And it was just the signs of the times. Now even we're competing with China, Brazil, and some of these major countries that are injecting billions of dollars into technology. So if we're not part of the signs of the time and being competitive, it's just going to pass you by in maybe, you know, a year, year and a half time frame, because we bid on contracts that extend 5 to 10 years, you know. So if we're not in, you know, the right mindset, it's just going to leave us totally behind. And, luckily we follow the pursuit. We did a capital expenditure program, which we're doing right now, putting three more pieces of equipment in to face the new cost reductions that our customers are asking for us and to be more competitive. And in order to do that, you got to have the best people, the best capability, and the best technology to go hand-in-hand with that situation we're dealing with right now.
You know, Fong, that is a great example, because you were able to learn about something and then implement it, and you had enough runway to make it a successful opportunity for your business. Many times when business leaders aren't out in the community learning what's changing, by the time they realize that something like this is afoot in the industry, unfortunately it might be too late for them to have the time to recover and not find that that is a very damaging aspect of the business. So it's a to you and to the family to be engaged in those kind of events and always be watching what's going on in your marketplace and in your industry so you remain current and competitive.
Yeah, I do agree with your statement, Rick, because you can't always be complacent in this kind of environment we work in. And manufacturing is tough in general. You know, there's deadlines that need to be made. There's you know, assembly lines that are constantly moving at our customer, and they need parts. They need parts on time with great quality. And, you know, by adding these pieces of equipment in there, they're going to give you that. They're going to give you great quality product on time and deliver to the customer under budget, which ultimately helps our nation by winning more work. And our federal government looking at it and saying, you know, these defense contracts that are being set out, you know, they're on critical time phases where they need this product to be, you know, out in the field. Case an example is like a fighter jet, you know. Our soldiers are out there, our pilots are out there flying these things, and they need this aircraft to be serviced, you know, put in the field and be ready to go when the mission calls for it. And if you're not a good supplier that can be reliable to Boeing and ultimately our customer, the Navy's and the Air Force's, they won't bid you next time. They won't put you in the competition, and you won't be part of their success story. So we deem customer service and quality and deliver our product to be our number one priority when we're doing business with our customers.
I'd like to redirect the conversation, if I could, also to share, Fong, if you will, a painful lesson you learned in your business career. In other words, relate a past experience, maybe where you learned a valuable lesson, but it came through a difficult experience.
Definitely so. You know, in my younger years, I did a lot of program management where I managed a number of products for a customer. You know, being a little bit young, you know, and inexperienced and not listening to your elders and your peers that have come before you, you know, you learn a very important lessons by, you know, not managing your product correctly, not giving the materials on order, and not communicating properly. And sometimes you get yourself in a bind with your customer where they really need that product line. And, you know, these things stretch all the way down to the military where you have generals calling you and asking you, where's my product? You know, it could be something that's insignificant, like a $10 part that stops, you know, a $45 million aircraft from leaving. And once you learn those lessons a few times, you go back and you really look and say, you're never going to make those mistakes again. And then when you're younger, you're going to make those mistakes, and you have to persevere through them. And you got to be very proactive in this business. And you always got to communicate with your customers and letting them know if you're going to make a mistake, they can somehow or another work around your mistakes until you recover from them. And those are one of the important lessons I learned in my younger years and still constantly today.
You know, I completely can connect with what you just said on both an emotional and an intellectual level. And kind of a lesson that I learned and that I think of when you were talking is bad news does not get better with age. And as soon as as you know you're going to have a delivery issue, and as soon as you have the facts, you've got to tell your customer, because at least you're giving them as much time as possible to kind of work with you to solve the problem. But holding it and not communicating and waiting longer, hoping that you might be able to avoid giving them bad news, sometimes can be a really bad practice, because by the time you finally let them know, invariably they ask, well, how long have you known this? And if it's an unreasonable amount of time since you told them, since you can really make a bad situation a lot worse.
Definitely so, Rick. And, you know, the best thing is to have a really open and honest policy. And, you know, for the things is they always remember you, you know, for all the bad things that's happened. That, you know, you can have 30 good things happen and one bad thing. And they just have to sit in front of a board and justify why they gave you the purchase order. Why did you choose this vendor? You know, so you don't want to set that environment and tone to the buyers that are buying these products. So we try to do our due diligence not to be in those environments anymore. And still, every day, you know, it's a very demanding environment we work in, and we just got to work through those problems every day and clearly communicate and be crystal clear with our intentions with our customers, so we don't put our customers in those positions anymore. We try not to.
You know, the great thing about being in the aerospace and military supply base is, you said earlier, which is many times you're on a long-term contract.
the project goes on for a number of years. You can kind of get a handle for the volume. It is, you know, once you have it up and running, you have maybe sometimes many years of return on that investment that you've made. The counter side to that is you're absolutely correct, Fong. They have very long memories in the military-industrial complex, and if you make a really big critical mistake with them, they don't forget it for years, and it sort of is very hard to undo the damage that one serious failure can have to your reputation in industry. So I imagine that your family business has done a very good job, as it sounds like, from being in business for 20 years and successful at managing that customer relationship. So
definitely so, Rick.
That.
And I can share a story with you. One time we actually had to charter a whole aircraft to send a part that was big as your computer keyboard to support the line. And when you do that once or twice, then you really, really understand how important it is to deliver product on time. So, you know, looking back at it, you know, I can giggle a little bit, but when it was happening, you know, it was the toughest time. It was an emotionally draining time to produce product. And those are things that I look back now, you know, and I still encourage the people that work underneath us. You know, now me sitting in the sales and estimating role for this organization, you know, if a product comes along and we're, you know, Boeing or Lockheed Martin sends us a bid and it doesn't fit us, we automatically call the buyer up or the manager that's looking at this competition and say, you know, it doesn't fit BTL. Could you add another vendor on there? And those kind of things they appreciate, because now because BTL can't be competitive, they can send it to somebody else out there and have that additional competitor bid on that, which gives them the ample opportunity to have a cost reduction in their program. So those are key guiding things that I teach the people underneath me, how to communicate and make sure that our customers are fully aware of our situation and what we're going to plan to do with those bids.
Fong, I guess I'd like to ask, with the few minutes that we have left here on Critical Mass, the radio show, is there anything else about your firm that I've not thought to ask you or that we've not talked about today that you would like to say?
No, I think we cover a lot of bases in what we do. For all the audio listeners out there, we're a manufacturer. We manufacture aerospace products, and we're a machine shop in general. And I think we covered a lot of things that you know, I wanted to discuss with you about, Rick.
Okay, so can you talk about your online presence? If someone would like to learn more about BTL, how would they find you on the web?
Sure, it's www.btlmachine.com, and we're located here in Corona, California. So if there's, I can be reached myself at Fongvo, Phongvo, at btlmachine.com. If somebody would like to send me an email or inquire about our company, I would love to spend the time to answer those emails.
Well, I would like to say, you know, thanks for the time you put into preparing for the interview today. Thanks for being a guest on the show and being a friend of the show. And, you know, as I said to Ron earlier, thanks for being the newest member to the Critical Mass for Business community.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it a whole lot, Rick, and given the opportunity to tell a wonderful, successful story about three minority owners that came from Vietnam and really basically build the American dream. And we're very proud of this country for giving us the opportunity, and it was a story that I wanted to tell you, and I wanted to tell the world, because I'm so proud of it, having the heritage that we do. Come from a third world country and now living the American dream and being successful in America doing the things we were doing is just overly, we couldn't fathom, you know, looking back 20 years ago when they opened this business. So I'm very proud to be a part of this organization, and I continue to praise all the people that work here for the great job that they do here every day.
Well, thank you for taking the time to explain it to our audience. I appreciated you having on the show. Fong, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Rick.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Well, I hope you've enjoyed our show today, or if you're listening to this as a future MP3 broadcast, maybe off of Apple iTunes or one of the other podcasting services that we use, I would encourage you to listen to us live 4 to 5 p.m. on octalkradio.net. You know, the goal of this show is to provide you with ideas and information that you can use to make better decisions. I'd like to thank Smart Business Magazine for sponsoring the show today. Smart Business Magazine is a journal providing insight and advice for top decision makers. If you'd like to learn more about Smart Business Magazine, well, then visit their website, which is www.sbnonline.com. If you'd like to learn more about Critical Mass for Business, then check out our website, criticalmassforbusiness.com. This is Rick Franzi saying, until the next show, I hope all your decisions move your company in a positive direction.
You've been listening to Critical Mass, only on OCTalkRadio.net.